Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special extra bonus episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. Today, we're going to be talking all things Backlash. We're going to give you our predictions on a match-by-match basis. We're going to tell you who we think is going to win, why, and where things can go from Backlash. But Sancho, as always, I like to start these predictions video by asking you a temperature check. How are you feeling about Backlash in general, the build? Are you excited?
The only thing I'm excited for is Randy and John, so I'm lukewarm. It just doesn't feel like a special event like Puerto Rico or France, you know what I mean? It doesn't have that little extra something. The only thing is in that main event, but I think the atmosphere of St. Louis is only going to be white hot for Randy and John. Like, the rest, everyone's going to be sitting on their hands, you know? So I'm lukewarm heading into this. How about yourself?
I'm also kind of lukewarm. I do feel like this is a show that is a victim of the new WrestleMania season, of WrestleMania being so deep into April as opposed to it being in the first weekend of April. Because instead of having like a full proper month of buildup, this thing only had three episodes of Raw and SmackDown to build up every single match. And what's interesting about this particular Backlash, when you look at most of the matches that are on here, they aren't really continuations of already pre-built feuds going into WrestleMania. Instead, they decided to create new feuds like John Cena versus Randy Orton, Lyra versus Becky Lynch, Pat McAfee versus Gunther. These are all feuds that needed to be built from the ground up with only three episodes of their respective shows. So there was a lot of rushing to really get this card out the door. And even Dominic versus Penta just sort of felt like a match that was added for the sake of being added so that they can round out five matches. My question to you is, as of the making of this video, it's looking like Jey Uso versus Logan Paul, which looked like it was very likely to end up on Backlash. Like, that's scrapped. Is that how you're feeling as well? Like, they're not going to add this match last minute? It feels like they've gone a different way. And I dare say that Dominic versus Penta was added as a way to just replace that so that they can still have five matches on the card. Because it looked to me, from every which way that I looked at this card, that we were going to be getting Jay versus Logan Paul.
I feel like they're going to still use the PLE as a launching point for more of that feud a little bit, considering that he did attack Jey Uso off air. I think they could continue that. I think it'd be a great reason. I think the WWE tends to not use superstars if they're not in the ring, and why not have Jey Uso come out for a moment to cut a promo against Logan Paul? I don't know why they wouldn't do that to pad it out, because if I bought a ticket to St. Louis, it'd be nice to see Jey Uso be a part of the Yeet entrance for a little bit. Why not, right?
Sure. Backlash last year is part of what made Jey Uso a big star. Remember that entrance with the French crowd? That just won over so many crowds around the world. I would have loved to see Jey Uso on this card, even if it was against Logan Paul. You know, a match that kind of had everybody feeling a little bit sour on. But
it was like a rubberneck car crash, you know, like
But I still would have preferred to have it if on this show, you know, let's just get it out of the way now instead of doing it later. But I guess doing it later does give us the ability to actually build that storyline a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel like you need that with a Logan Paul right now. I feel like Logan Paul is still considered a showcase, and I know he wants to develop as a full-time wrestler. AJ versus Logan for us, or at least for me, did not deliver as much. I think Jay versus Logan, I think you have too many opportunities to be like, yeah, Jey Uso can't carry that belt. Does that make sense? It does. Having that one match before with Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw really solidified that there is an interesting, strong run in Jey Uso here, and he could go toe-to-toe with some of the best in the business, and Seth Rollins definitely brought that out of him. If he would have not had that match and had a mediocre match against Logan Paul, immediately we all would have been like, take the belt off of him. But at least having a Seth Rollins kind of solidifies him as a champion right now.
I agree. Let's go through things on a match-by-match basis. Let's start off with the match that was made on the most recent episode of Monday Night Raw. Dominic Mysterio going in as the WWE Intercontinental Champion, defending against Penta. This match, we talked about this a little bit on the full podcast. This feels like it was thrown together last minute for the sake of rounding out the card, because it just seems weird that Penta's even getting this opportunity when you really like lay things out on paper, because Penta already lost the championship match going in as a challenger at WrestleMania for that IC title, lost the match the next night on Raw to Dominic Mysterio, beats JD McDonagh, and then gets this match as a reward, just seems and screams, we just need to fill out this match card, brother. I'm still excited for the prospect of the match. I still think it's going to be fun. And I like seeing the plethora of mid-card titles on this show, by the way. But it does feel like this is just a match for the sake of a match. Don't you feel that way?
I do feel like it's a sake of a, I feel like Backlash is not going to be used as a button, like we talked about, like you said in the opening. It's not a WrestleMania Part 2.0 where we revisit those feuds. And I think because of that, it's not going to be the end of Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. This is just going to be another stepping stone of the baby face of the baby steps that Triple H likes to take into that feud so that we could build up to Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio at SummerSlam type of situation. It needs to be that kind of a fight that's going to head into that. So I think Finn is going to tease that he's going to hurt Dom here and trying to make sure that he doesn't win, but then he's going to do what he's always been doing in these promos where he looks like he's mean, but he's just, oh, I'm the nice guy, Finn.
I'm just kidding, hermano.
I'm just kidding, amigo. So I feel that what's going to happen in this match, which is a shame because I think if Penta does lose here, it does sort of hurt his stock a little bit. The only saving grace is that most likely it's not going to be clean because the Judgment Day is going to be around. He's going to have to go through Carlito, JD, and Finn. But I do believe that Dom wins this match. It's important for Dom to win this match. There's a lot of good feels for him coming out of WrestleMania. He got that repeat standing ovation moment where he ran back out there and held the belt up again. I think that moment, in order to build into the legacy of Dominic Mysterio, he has to win here because it's the only way to build up that friction between him and good old Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think you're hitting it on the head. I think this is an easy out kind of a match because Penta can lose and look strong because he's going to have to overcome the entirety of the Judgment Day, right? But that is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting all sorts of shenanigans from the Judgment Day. Maybe, like you said, a little moment between Dominic Mysterio and Finn Balor, maybe teasing dissension within the ranks of the Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. Maybe we see the return of Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan was said to be gone for 2 weeks. Maybe maybe that's enough time for her to return a Backlash. Either way, I think we're both in agreement here. Dominic Mysterio needs to walk out as the Intercontinental Champion. This reign is too short, too young for it to be ending here this quickly. Maybe it could end in DQ, but I would rather Dom win off the back of all of the help from the Judgment Day. It still keeps Penta looking strong.
Plus, Penta, if he has this kind of notion that he can't overcome Judgment Day on his own, could introduce Rey Fénix into the fold.
True.
As a monster of the week, like, hey, I need your help for this 1 week, necessarily making him a permanent tag team because that tag team division is dead. Let's just bring in Rey Fénix for a good pop, good PLE match because so you desperately wanted the Paul brothers and Lucha brothers. I think we do need a Lucha brothers match at SummerSlam type of PLE soon.
Okay. All right. That's one of the things that I've been saying, that I think that all of this stuff with the Judgment Day could eventually lead to us getting Penta reuniting with Rey Fénix. But I don't think that it happens here. Maybe first bullet gets fired here that leads to that. But Dominic Mysterio, we both have him winning. Let's stay with the Intercontinental Championship, but let's go to the women's side. Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I, for one, am just happy that this match exists. You know, I'm glad that we live in a universe where we finally have a good enough storyline, good enough star power for this championship to be on a PLE card. It deserves to be on the PLE card. It's one of the more interesting storylines. Obviously, Becky Lynch is a first ballot Hall of Famer. She's a huge name. Lyra Valkyria has been taking major steps forward in her character and her connection with the audience more than anything. I felt like that was always where she always lacked. You know, she wasn't able to connect with the crowd, but this feud with Becky Lynch has helped her make that connection. You made the prediction on the first one, so I'll go here. I am predicting Becky Lynch to win the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I think that Becky Lynch could win in such a way where there are shenanigans. The other alternative that I'll throw out there is Bayley. making a return here and costing Becky Lynch, and maybe down the line it's Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch versus Bayley for that IC title. But I think for this first go, Lyra Valkyria has now held this thing for 5 months. It doesn't feel that way, but it's been a 5 month reign. I think that she might lose it here. I think that they're going to be giving this to Becky Lynch. Where do you stand, sir?
Where do I stand? I will stand opposing you, sir. I think Lyra does win, but I do agree with you. It is would be a Bayley thing, but it's a dangerous line to dance because you can't make Lyra look too weak and make Bayley being the dominating factor. I think Becky would be distracted by a Bayley. One of those type of run-ins where it's like Bayley just comes out. Maybe it's the music just hits, or when a wacky waving inflatable tube man's distracted Becky. Good old hugger Becky comes out. I think Lyra has to win here. I think to continue that kind of cementing the legacy of the belt can't be off the back of a Becky Lynch. And I think Becky Lynch wants to show the world that she's willing to play ball and not be a Becky Hogan type. Mm-hmm. If she loses here, then I think that narrative dies. That narrative is holding strong to her. I know we don't like to put too much stock in the general IWC, which we're all part of. But if Lyra was to win here clean, I think that's a good sign. Or even if it's a slight shenanigans from Bayley, I think that's a good sign by putting the rest of the Becky Hogan narrative. Because I don't think Becky is doing, Becky Lynch is doing that today in these days. She's not a Hogan-esque. She's not going to be there at Backlash, look in the eyes of Lyra and be like, she's not ready. Put the belt back on me.
That's not going to work for me, brother. Okay. So we are on opposing sides here. You've got Lyra. I think Becky Lynch is going to win. Let's move on here. Stick with these titles, baby. I love how many mid-card titles we have here. The United States Championship, the Men's United States Championship, to clarify, between champion Jacob Fatu going up against L.A. Knight. Yeah, Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. I'll let you take this one since I took the last one. Go ahead.
Talk about a showcase match. It feels like a WrestleMania showcase match to make Jacob Fatu look incredibly strong. This is going to have to be, it's amazing that they decided to put the entire mid card in one match.
you're literally
wasting a lot of your ammunition and potential singles matches out of this situation. I think the only reason why they're doing this, Santi, is to create more feuds out of this, to spin that out even further. It'd be wild to see a Drew McIntyre win the United States title. It'd be out of nowhere. It'd be a bold choice. I thought this would be a platform for Solo Sikoa to finally be like, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to need to get that belt off of you, Ooze type of vibe. But I don't see Solo Sikoa doing that here, because if he wanted to, he could have done it at Mania on the biggest stage. In Jacob Fatu's first defense, it is not a singles match. It is probably the most wildest fatal four-way you could think of. It's like something someone from 2K would put together, to be honest with you, right? These are my favorite wrestlers, and I'm going to put them against Jacob Fatu. I do see Jacob Fatu winning this, and I do see it because they are trying to hotshot him into main event status really quickly and be a dominating force. And I think to beat out the mid-card legacy giants of LA Knight and the heavyweight card of Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest will speak volumes for the legacy of Jacob Fatu. And I think they're going to put the rocket on him, brother, and this is where it begins.
Yeah, we're in agreement here. We're back to being in sync. It's going to be May. I do think that this is about making Jacob Fatu the next big pillar of the WWE. It's interesting because I look at the rest of these guys and I feel like LA Knight is the one that has taken the biggest leaps forward in terms of feeling like a bigger draw. The dude gets the biggest pop out of all four of these guys. And one of the things that I've been saying is that with the main event picture kind of being vacated right now, with no Cody Rhodes, no Roman Reigns, and John Cena being a part-timer, that this was going to sort of have to take the burden of the main event for many episodes of Friday Night SmackDown, and ended up being correct. But that this would also open up an opportunity for one of these guys to really expand themselves and be seen as more than just a mid-card guy. I feel like LA Knight has done that. It doesn't matter how much LA Knight has increased his stock, however, it is about the rocket that has been strapped to the back of Jacob Fatu. This guy is going to win. there is a major match looming somewhere between him and Solo Sikoa. Mm-hmm. I know you could probably throw out the idea of maybe Solo Sikoa costing the match here, yada, yada, yada. I don't see that happening. It is too early. There is a way, however, you know, if you want to get the title off of him, this is the perfect place because you can protect him. He doesn't have to take a pin. But I still think Jacob Fatu wins here. I would like to see Jacob Fatu destroy all three of those guys to pick up the victory.
But that's the thing, though, is like when you're trying to think about the scenarios of putting the belt on LA Knight, Drew, and Damian, I don't see much. Does that make sense? Like, it's too foggy. It's like I hit the wall a lot sooner with the moment right now, which is strange for the number one LA Knight Glazer to say. But Jacob Fatu, there's so much path. There's so much possibilities. There's so much he can do with the United States title, and that will help him as well. If LA Knight wins, what does that mean? Jacob Fatu chases LA Knight? I don't see that right now. I want to see a dominating run with this title. And, dude, he could even do an open challenge with that title, and it would work so well. Because imagine some NXT talent trying to take out Jacob Fatu. It just adds so many possibilities. And right now, I still don't think Drew belongs in this world. You know what I mean? It's like a one of those comic book characters. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You're too big of a character to be this world. It'd be as if in the Thunderbolts movie that just was released, if Spider-Man was running around at that time.
Yeah, it's like
Spider-Man.
Yeah, like I said, he's there because there's a vacuum in the main event right now. So like, Hey, we need you to do something. You're too big of a name to just wait around until we find something for you to do in the main event scene. So this is it. This is it right here. Okay, so we both have Jacob Fatu. Let's move on here.
Fight. Too.
You're keeping the Braun Strowman dream alive.
Gotta
brother.
Keep Braun alive. We cannot stop talking about him because if that happens, he's finally gone forever.
That's
now,
right.
Then forever.
Let's move on to Pat McAfee versus Gunther. A match that I'm weirdly intrigued by. Like if I'm buying a ticket, this is one of the matches that I'm intrigued to see. I'm very curious what kind of show they're going to be putting on. Because I'm seeing this, and I look at the promos that they've been cutting back and forth, and I'm wondering, are they actually going to have a competitive match? Is this going to be a squash match? Are we setting something up for maybe Gunther versus Goldberg down the line? Gunner versus Gunberg would be crazy, maybe for SummerSlam. But I just don't know where the dice is going to land, you know, like we're throwing up a dice in the air and it could land any one of six ways. And any one of these six ways is something that I'm intrigued by. I personally would love for this to just be a destruction, an utter squash match, an annihilation of Pat McAfee. What I don't want to see is Pat McAfee win in any way, shape, or form. Not even if it's Goldberg interfering to help Pat McAfee win. No. If Goldberg's going to come out, I'd rather it be after the match when Pat McAfee is getting post-match destroyed by Gunther. I do not want to see Gunther lose this match in any way, shape, or form. Interference, no interference, whatever it might be, Gunther cannot lose this. I'm picking Gunther. My extra bonus prediction here is that it's a squash match that gets out of hand after the bell rings and Gunberg comes out.
Now, let me add to that. All right. I like what you said, but I don't think Pat McAfee is enough to bring out the good old Goldberg.
Good old Goonberg?
No.
I'm going to make it a thing.
For this match to work, for your angle to work, it needs to be amplified even more. Pat McAfee destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what happens when that happens? Who is Gunther going to look at next? Who's next?
Michael Cole.
That is what brings out Goldberg. Michael Cole needs to be the one in danger to bring out Goldberg. And that would elevate the heat from Gunther taking out or getting his hands on Michael Cole even further. And actually get him into that headlock that he was almost about to get him into. And I think that would bring out Goldberg, and the pop would be insane for Goldberg to save Michael Cole, not Pat McAfee. Right? Pat McAfee, we could be like, we could take it or leave it. You're doing the great thing. You're saving him. Predictable, but saving Michael Cole, brother, instant. But at the same time, I'm hoping for a squash match because, you know, Pat McAfee hasn't been in the ring in a while, doesn't look like in the best of shapes as he normally is. And I think this will be a great excuse to get Pat McAfee off of TV for a bit, like they normally do around this time of year, right?
They do, yeah.
Prep for that college size, scholarship.
It's a good way also just to get some heat back on
heat,
Gunther.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some heat back on Gunther. All right. So we go both have Gunther. Oh my God. I've brain rotted myself into calling him Gooner. Oh, anyways, no. Let's go to the main event of the evening, and I'll let you start off with this one. We have Jonathan Cena going in as the WWE Undisputed Champion, going up against hometown boy Randy Orton. Let me have it.
This is going to be a match that doesn't start until like 10 minutes in. It's going to be one of those ones Randy's going to get sung to. John's going to come out, get booed. They're going to milk everything, brother, until the cow is dry. And it's well-deserved because this is like the last time we may see Randy and John. Ooh, don't you feel the goosebumps kind of leaving your forearm right there a little bit? All that's happening. Oh, I think this is... In order for John Cena to ruin wrestling, he has to punch the ref for DQ. And I think what would make it better is if a manager, I don't know if Aldis... Yeah, it has to be Nick Aldis. He says, that's not how we're going to do things, John. And he restarts
gentlemen,
the match. Right?
Gentlemen,
gentlemen. Gentlemen, John. I think he has to restart the match. And I know it's a bold prediction. I think we're going to get that finish, a DQ. Everyone's going to be booing. Get some great heat on John for taking the easy way out. Repeating history when Randy Orton did the same thing to him. But I think to give some goodwill and the way that SmackDown has been booked lately where it feels like something's always around the corner, that's not really the main event. The main event is this. I think they will do that. I think they restart the match. I think it will get a big pop from Nick Aldis. Then you believe that maybe, just maybe, Randy Orton could win. Shenanigans will happen. Again, a dirty John Cena who's already used the belt, a low blow. I think he's going to do something old school, Mid-South, I don't know, Memphis wrestling that's even... chloroform, crying out loud, Johnny Gonzalez style, to really make us hate him even more. Because I think this would be a moment, Santi, if you were to tell me Randy Orton wins, I would believe you. I wouldn't say you're crazy. I would say maybe, because John Cena has to go back to being a good guy some way, some form. My prediction is John wins, but Randy still punk kicks him at the end.
I like that prediction there at the end. Yeah, man, a lot of people are fantasy booking like this crazy, you know, slap the ref callback to it. I do think that there's going to be shenanigans. The one thing that I really, really hope happens is that we hear Travis Scott's music and he starts to come out and then we, no, I'm just kidding. Screw that. I do want shenanigans though. All right. I want weapons of some sort, low blows, using the title again. What I'm predicting is that John Cena is going to win in all kinds of dastardly ways. He's going to raise the title, and the show is going to end with the return of Cody Rhodes. I think that Cody Rhodes is not going to take off like a super long amount of time. I think that Cody Rhodes comes back after the show. I would not be surprised. Maybe, imagine, stick with me here, a pissed off Randy Orton after he loses. Cody goes to help him and then Randy hits him with an RKO. He's just pissed. He's just mad that he lost. The voices in his head have taken over.
You think Cody stops him, John, from being punt kicked? And then John, and then...
Oh, that pisses off Randy? And Randy?
Yeah. Woo! Because Cody is an in-betweener, dude. Cody...
Yeah.
Cody is one of those guys that's like, you label him what you want it to be sometimes, right? Because Cody is going to do the right thing and oftentimes... Sometimes doing the right thing is not the right babyface thing to do for Cody Rhodes.
Sometimes.
Right? Sometimes. And even sometimes the wrong thing to do is not the right thing for the babyface that makes him heel. He's a strange cat, Cody Rhodes, how he's being booked, right? I do see him taking the high road. That's always his always choice. So he takes the high road. Randy doesn't like it. Maybe that sets up Randy and Cody to do their own thing. That frees up John to go do something else. Because Randy can't be a character chasing John after this. This is going to be the end of whatever happens. So I like the idea of getting Cody involved. So then Cody and Randy could have a match without the belt. And then you could have like this clear, open mind. And that opens up Cody could lose against Randy in that kind of way. Regardless, this is just a nostalgic pit stop for everybody. John Cena moves on to his next nostalgic pit stop, which would probably be CM Punk. And I think that's going to be a great. This is what you're buying a ticket for if you're going to St. Louis. This is what I'm spending my Saturday for, is this here right now. Regardless, dude, John Cena has to have a better match than he has at Mania. And it's not necessarily a Cody Rhodes type of situation versus Randy. It's more that John Cena, maybe with more reps and things like that, maybe figured out how he wants to be in the ring, needs to be better than he was at Mania.
All right.
It's a hair.
Yeah, no, that's I would love for the Mets to be better than the Mania match. So we are both in agreement, right. Not necessarily that Cena wins, but that Cena walks out as the champion in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, that is it for our predictions. Thank you very much for listening to, yeah,
what? Any Bad Bunny? Because it'd be Backlash is Bad Bunny time, dude.
No.
Bad Bunny?
No. I don't think so. You know, he's hot right now. He's popular. He's cooking right now. Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys very much for listening to this bonus episode of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. Again, the full version of the podcast will be up later this week on free platforms, but it is already available on the Patreon. We'll see you guys in the next one. Take care. Enjoy Backlash. Get out of here.